Hi, and welcome to Being Lutheran, a podcast dedicated to proclaiming the excellencies of Jesus Christ and the biblical theology expressed in the Lutheran Confessions. Today, Pastor Jason Goodham, Pastor Brett Bowe, and Pastor Adam Osher continue their discussion on the formula of concord, looking at Article 3 on the righteousness of faith before God. Being Lutheran is sponsored by the Free Lutheran Bible College and Seminary in Plymouth, Minnesota. Whatever your vocation, start here, go anywhere, grounded in God's Word.
Welcome to the Being Lutheran podcast. I am Pastor Brett Bowe, and I'm joined by
Pastor Jason Goodham
and Pastor Adam Osher.
All right, welcome back, guys. This is not the Bible study episode. If you heard a couple episodes ago, we're doing four normal content episodes and then four Bible study episodes after this on the third article of the formula.
Because this is kind of a big deal.
I was going to say, yeah, we felt like we couldn't squeeze all of that into just two episodes like we usually do.
Yeah.
And I'm especially excited for this episode. I think there's going to be a pretty good Adam Osher rant slash whatever
you put pressure on him.
Yeah.
Well, the segue to that is that we couldn't squeeze into four episodes what we normally would do into two episodes. And to be honest, we're already behind on our timeline.
Yeah, that's true.
We failed to squeeze what we thought we would in two episodes.
Right. Yeah, last episode, we were talking about all the affirmative statements here. And there was one more that we wanted to get to before we transitioned into the we reject type statements here in this this article.
It's called the Dikembe Mutombo section of the article.
Not in my house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
God rest his soul. Is he?
That's right. Yeah, he died, right? Yep.
That's sad.
So I think we should just get right into it so we don't fall further behind here. Yeah,
go ahead. If I can
this
jump in.
This is Adam's territory. Everyone sit back and appreciate the artist at work.
No pressure. Wow. Yeah, so this, I think, is a good article, guys. That's all I got. No. it's not even a rant. William Lane Craig was a rant. This is just a refreshment, right? The last affirmative statement in the article where it's saying this is what we do believe, teach, and confess, it says this, and I'm just going to read it. We believe, teach, and confess that in spite of the fact that until death, a great deal of weakness and frailty still cling to those who believe in Christ and are truly reborn. They should not doubt their righteousness, which is reckoned to them through faith, nor the salvation of their souls, but they should regard it as certain that they have a gracious God for Christ's sake on the basis of the promise and the word of the Holy Gospel.
Amen.
If you could just read that, actually, you guys will probably be alive. If you're at my funeral, could you just read that?
Yep.
Like, just read that line and just without comment, just that's the sermon.
Drop
right?
the mic.
Is the peace that affords the troubled conscience, isn't it?
Yeah.
Think if you think about this, and we talked last episode about altar calls and things like that, and just that constant burden of, do I believe enough? Is it really this simple? Like, it clearly has to depend on me somehow, blah, 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 blah. And I remember as a kid, and Jason was at some of these camps with me. Brett, you grew up in another state, but Jason, you know the camp. And I can't, truthfully, I don't remember any specific speaker personally who just really, like, put this on me, but I knew it was on my own soul. Like, you're not good enough. Have you really believed enough? Have you tried hard enough? And then here's this, like, mountaintop theologian, Martin Chemnitz, saying 400 years ago, in spite of the fact that until death, a great deal of weakness and frailty still cling to those who believe in Christ and are truly reborn. Hmm. And this reality that, yes, there will be in this life a measure of sin and of struggle and of disappointment, and why am I like the way I am? I don't want to be like this anymore. But then it says we should not doubt the righteousness which comes 100% through Jesus. And that is the most refreshing part of this, is that the righteousness before God does not depend on my frailty. And it doesn't mean that I'm not a Christian. If I do struggle and I am frail and I am weak, that does not mean that you've not been, you know, you've not been saved, or that you're not saved.
Or
right?
Going through a revolving door of
in and out. But here's the thing, and this is another thing we've referenced our recent youth convention in our national youth convention. One of the things, and I know that some would push back on this, some would have trouble with what I'm saying right now. there was one speaker who spoke, and he gave a measure of an altar call, which we've talked about, you know, being troubled. But the thing that I loved about his approach was he gave a second to those who are Christians, and I thought that was refreshing. I did not hear that as a kid, right? Come, you know, maybe you're a Christian right now. You trust in Jesus. You're walking, you know, you're trusting him, but you're struggling with some specific sin. Come, let's talk about that. Let's confess that sin. And I don't know what happened. Brett actually was, I think I can out you at this point, in charge of spiritual care after messages and things like that at the conference. But what is the thing you do? If a student came to you and said in your parish, hey, listen, I struggled immensely in this particular area, and I'm feeling guilty about it. Well, what do? Go home and try harder. Is that what you said, Brett?
Absolutely, go home, try harder.
Yeah, you know what? If you just really buckle down and try more, then Jesus will like you. But no, you don't say that. What do you say? You say exactly the word of the gospel, that you should regard it as certain that they have a gracious God for Christ's sake on the basis and promise of the word of the holy gospel. So what does that mean? Your sins are forgiven you. And that's what they need to hear. You know, it's not your sins are forgiven you and now you're going to be perfectly fine, or you better God set you on this, the top of the pinnacle of this rock, but it's your job to stay there. No, your sins are forgiven you. That's all you need. Just say that. That's what the student, that's what the not just the student, but the broken soul needs to hear. The Christian who is struggling with the sin, your sins are forgiven you. Well, but the sin is wrong. Yes, the sin is wrong. Of course it's wrong. That's why they're coming to you. They recognize the incongruity. Your sins are forgiven you. Rant over. All right.
Amen.
Anyway.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah. Very good.
Well, and what they're saying and why it's so important, along the lines of what you said, we need to understand as believers that the gospel and the benefits of the gospel are based on the completed work of Jesus Christ and his effectiveness as Savior. And that is so important.
It's outside of us.
It's outside of us because we want to measure the effectiveness of the gospel and the sincerity of our belief. And the problem is the generic American church wants to make the only application of the gospel conversion. That's the problem. That's why this needs to be said. And it's been in the church for 2,000 years, is a misapplication of the gospel is only for conversion. So what do you have to do then if you want to apply the gospel to believers is you have to make them fall away.
Yeah. To undo and the assurance of salvation.
You undo the assurance of salvation. Yeah. And you know, Adam and I, not only do we have a common growing up experience from the same district in North Dakota, I mean, he and I, our walk of faith is virtually identical. But I was measuring the effectiveness on the gospel on my performance. The gospel is not tied to my performance. The gospel is tied to the performance of Jesus Christ. God does not fail. When God himself hangs from a cross and says, "It is finished," that's the gospel call and the gospel invitation, to be frank, to believe it. Mm-hmm. That God said that, not me. The gospel is not me doing my best, putting my hands behind my head, stretching out on the Barca lounger and saying, "All right, I did enough."
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's also the gospel is not jeopardized by my doubts. You know, my problem was I would hear the gospel and I'd want to believe it. I'd look at my life as a Christian and say, "I don't believe that. Like, this can't possibly be right because I'm a miserable sinner." And what I had were a string of people in my life trying to reconvert me. And what I needed was someone to say, "Your sins are forgiven." And I never got that because I come from a tradition that says, "I can't tell you your sins are forgiven because I don't know if you're repentant enough."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's poison.
And it's always pointing you to something that is indeed good. Go and read your Bible. Go and pray. All of those things are absolutely good and something we ought to be doing, and in part because it's from that word that we hear your sins are forgiven. But all these things, it gets painted and packaged in this little, you know, portrait or, you know, delivery of, you know, you got to do this now. Nope. And it's never, you know what? It's not about that. Your sins are forgiven. Yeah, but should I? Yes, but your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven for Christ's sake, not for anything else. Not because you deserved it, not because you earned it, not because you worked for it, not because you believed it hard enough. It's because Jesus gave it to you, the forgiveness of sins. You have to be able to say that. And people think that, well, that's just a, you know, sometimes within our circles, right? It's a little bit of a Lutheran thing, you know, to really like do a confession absolution type of situation. But at the end of the day, if you recognize the burden that we're placed under when we are putting these, you know, extra things on ourselves, when we recognize that Jesus is enough, the whole confession and absolution thing really changes the game.
Well, and it's why I'm addicted to being a pastor.
Because you have the opportunity to rightly apply, preach and teach the long gospel, and then apply it as guided by the Lord.
And I get to deliver the best message ever.
Yeah.
You know, I thought, and this will be a deep cut, but remember Publisher's Clearinghouse
from back
in the day? We were all kids. I was like, that guy has the best job in the world. Is you would knock on a random person's house with $1 million check in your hand and get to watch. Oh, we got the gospel message, and we get to declare the forgiveness of sins. Why? Because Jesus has given that message. Yeah. And the whole thing about the preaching of the gospel, Jesus says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven.
Yeah.
And why do we get to do that? Because Jesus has completed the work. Because it is finished. Because he rose again from the dead and proved it. Jesus' work isn't most of the way, but it's incomplete because we got to figure out some way to tie that bow up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, it's already done.
To tell us, day, it's still finished.
Exactly. And again, this is for those who are listening and thinking, well, but what about? Aren't we supposed to live a certain way? We'll get to that. Like I said, last episode, or you know, even maybe was it earlier this episode? I can't remember. But you know, we'll get to the good works part. But this is exactly what the spiritual disciplines are all about.
Yeah.
This is what they're about. It's never about, you know, well, if you, you know, read your Bible, pray every day, then you'll grow, as though those are checklist items. You read your Bible, you pray, you give, you lament, you fast, you worship. All of those things are meant to be delivery mechanisms for God's gift of forgiveness. All of those things are. And the more you get into the word, yes, it will tell you how to live, but the more that you get into that word, you're going to realize it all flows from the fact that you're a forgiven soul. You're a forgiven individual for the sake of Jesus Christ. And when you get into those, all of a sudden the disciplines don't become a checklist or works to do. It becomes a delivery system for the good gifts of God.
It's putting yourself in a position to hear the gospel. Mm-hmm. And there are times when our lives create distractions, and that's mm-hmm. what it looks like.
Right.
And so this is, I think, Brett, probably the point where we bring up the we reject.
I
think
I was going to say, how do we get to that point?
But yeah.
Yeah. Right. And so, getting into the we reject statements, you know, flowing from that, first couple here of these statements, Christ is our righteousness according to his divine nature alone.
We've covered that.
Or according to his human nature alone.
Yeah. If he's one or the other, we lose salvation.
Right.
He needs to be human because he needs to be our substitute. He needs to be divine because he needs to, it needs to occur within God's justice. And he needs to be able to overcome sin
mm-hmm.
and death.
So we are, you know, we've been talking about all these affirmative. I think we probably should move along, don't you think, Brett?
Yeah. Yep. Well, yeah, I am into the reject. Here's another one. Justify to be justified means being made righteous.
I entirely missed that you said the reject. I thought we were recapping when we went back to the whole according to the two natures. No. So reject those who aren't. Yeah, I get
you
it.
You know the most famous person who doesn't listen to our podcast?
Me.
Adam.
It's okay.
Sorry, everybody.
Yeah, Adam's a brand new shade of red right now.
No. No. It's like the wall. We got our thing painted.
I've been there before, man.
Yeah.
It's all
right.
Yeah. So here's another one.
I still stand by what I said earlier, though.
Yeah. All right.
So the justify.
Yeah,
I was trying to kill the dead air, Brett.
Right.
Ready?
All right. How about this one? Justify or to be justified mean being made righteous instead of being declared righteous. What's the big difference there?
Okay, the theological term is forensic justification. It's justification mm-hmm. that stands up in a court of law. God, as the judge, says that we are righteous. He declares us to be righteous on account of Christ. The problem with justification being made righteous, that's, part of it's sanctification. We are being made righteous in the image of Christ. That will be complete in eternity. But right now, because we still have sins, because we still struggle with sin, if justification was to be made righteous, that means every sin you commit after salvation would disqualify you. Hmm. That's why we can't be made righteous.
Got it.
It's that every failure would be a disqualifying failure because you would be demonstrating by your thoughts, words, or actions that you aren't righteous.
Right. Yeah, and I love the definition of the declaration of righteousness, you know, the judge in the courtroom and that whole image.
And that's that double declaration that the justification is not guilty, but it doesn't stop there. It's also completely righteous. Mm-hmm. So that it's not only your sins are not being held against you, but Christ's righteousness is being credited as your own.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yep. Yeah. Next one here. Faith looks not only to Christ's obedience, but also his divine nature as it dwells and works in us to cover our sins.
Yeah. So this is... it's hard to talk really about how this works itself out because it's not as popular of a error. I mean, in American Christianity, but this is like they stated at the beginning of the article, it's the drop of water.
Yeah,
it's compared to an ocean.
It's the imputation versus infusion, and this would be the infusion error.
Yep.
Right. That like Jesus is enough. Yes, but you know, he also is living in you, and because of that, you are working toward a righteousness before God. I think is that fair?
Yeah.
And that's the infusion. Like you've been infused with his grace to live a certain way, which helps to bolster or, and there's a spectrum on this where it's like you completely need to work with God in order to get that righteousness, or you have that righteousness, but you're going to become more righteous because he's living in you and you're living a certain way in a positive way.
Yeah,
right?
It kind of works the same way spinach does to Popeye. where Popeye does pretty good on his own, but every once in a while he needs a little bit of the Jesus juice and then he can get past whatever he's working through.
That's right. Nice. All right. Next one here. Faith can exist in a person who persists in sin without genuine repentance.
Okay, that's a denial of the nature of faith.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that faith apprehends the gifts of the gospel. And so it's not a permanent thing. It's not a class. You know, it's you don't become a Christian like in a role-playing game where you become a paladin or a knight or anything like that. Yeah. It's that faith, if you do not exercise faith in the receiving of the gospel, unrepentance will kill faith.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because unrepentance leads to unbelief.
Do you think there's a certain amount of time or duration to that? I guess I'm thinking of someone that might say, I went a week or a month without. You wouldn't put a time frame on that.
It's not quantity, it's quality. I mean, you know, we talked about how God hardened Pharaoh's heart. That's persistent unrepentance. You look at Judas Iscariot, we have no idea of the quality of his heart, but we know that he became unrepentant and ultimately killed himself after betraying Christ. You know, and the Book of Concord, the Apology, talks about what's the difference between Peter's act of sin and Judas's act of sin is that Peter repented. Mm-hmm. And that's how you look at it. So it's... The kind of the source in Scripture that talks about this principle would be Romans 1:18 through the end of the chapter, where it talks about the persistence of human sin and the nature of human sin denying the truth. And then God's response to our persistent truth-dying sin is, and God gave them up. And God gave them
right.
up.
Yep.
And God...
God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Or, yeah. Right.
And it's what unrepentant sin makes it easier to sin. And more sin, quantitatively speaking, if you want to do that, makes it harder to repent.
Yeah, and I liked how you used the word quantitative and qualitative there. You know, it's not a number of times. You know, if you look at the example in Scripture of that, of Pharaoh, right? You know, he was rejecting. And I think there comes a point, and it's a line you don't want to play with. But yes, there comes a point where this hardening takes place, and God gives them over to... And that, yeah, absolutely. That's the key thing. And I think part of that is like, well, how close can I get to the line before, you know? We can't play with that line.
Well, and it's the exact same question is, can I do X and still be a Christian? That is the absolute wrong question to be asking as a Christian. So I teach this to my Bible college students. I've got to find a more ready-made example because 10 years ago, the thing is, can I watch Game of Thrones and still be a Christian?
That's not. Is that 10 years old already?
Oh, it's way older than 10 years.
Really?
This one's like 15. But
shocking.
Yeah, it's...
How do we get to be so old? So fast.
Line in the teeth.
Time is not linear. It's exponential.
It accelerates at the end.
But it's
over for us, Jason.
If you're asking how much can I sin and get away with before I need to repent, that's already a warning sign.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. I like this. This is it's kind of like a
stump Jason.
Yeah.
Lightning round.
Yeah, lightning round of the we reject.
Name that heresy.
Right, yeah. Good, here's the next one. Not God himself, but only God's gifts dwell in believers.
I've been crucified with Christ. It's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live by faith, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and died for me.
Yeah.
I thought it was God helps those who help themselves.
Yeah, that's second hesitations.
Nice.
Yeah, it's God. It's too much focus on the believer as the center of the story. Yeah, if you only have God's gifts,
right?
Yeah. Yep. Well, and it's a souped up version of Jesus as our example, isn't it?
Well, and it's more of that. The Christ is the anointing.
Yeah.
And so the Spirit enables you to be just like Jesus.
Right. And that's the thing. Yeah. But then the righteousness comes from our behavior and not the finished work of Jesus.
And the super behaved ones, I have an extra measure of the Spirit kind of a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. Which is even a darker, a darker avenue to that path. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Good. All right. Next one. Wonder how many more we can get in here. Faith saves because of renewal in us, which dwells in love for God and neighbor.
Nope.
Vocation.
That would be that would be faith saves by good works.
Yeah.
And it's coming up, and this will be something let's just keep going. Where is it? I'm looking at our notes here. It's like in three bullet points, so we'll just...
You want to jump right to that, then we can end with that?
Yeah, you know where I'm skipping down here. On your notes, boy, this is terrible.
Our listeners are really riveted right now. You know, listeners, you know the bullet points? Yeah. Yes. We have
talking about the physical description of our script now. Right. This is terrible radio.
It is.
Hey, maybe
it is on the program Microsoft Word. If you guys are,
maybe that'll be comforting for people to know that we actually have some semblance.
We do show prep occasionally. Yeah.
Right. So the promise of grace is made our own through faith in the heart, confession with the mouth, and other virtues.
And then read the next one.
Faith does not justify without good works.
And that's the major error they're getting to. Is that, and a thread of this is present in our heritage, and it's one of the things I probably, in 15 years of being a pastor, I've tried to fight against the most. Mm-hmm. The gift of free grace terrifies some because they're afraid of turning free grace into cheap grace. And so what's your response? And we've kind of talked about this already, right? You know, how Jesus has done this, how are you going to live your life? And for the person who is wired in that way, the preaching of the undiluted gospel sounds like we are eliminating the need for piety, that we're eliminating the need for good works. And what we need to do a better job, but we also need to hold people accountable on, is that good works do not belong to justification. Our good works, they're not confirmation of justification. They don't
keep up our justification card.
The article of justification must be kept pure and alone. We are justified by God's declaration through his grace poured out because of the completed work of Jesus Christ. Okay. Insofar that our good works flow from that, it is because we are justified. But good works do not belong to justification. Yep. You don't put them there, which is why the doctrine of vocation is so essential. Because then the question is, if we don't need good works to be saved, what do we do with our good works? The one error is then we don't need to do any good works. And the matching error is, well, then we better say you need good works to be saved. No. Good works are for our neighbor. And that's where vocation comes in.
Keep them separate.
That's right. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. Please look us up on the web at beinglutheran.com. Also, invite a friend to check us out on Spotify and iTunes. Please join us next week as Pastor Jason, Pastor Brett, and Pastor Adam continue their discussion on the formula of concord. If you would like more information about the Bible School or the seminary, please visit flbc.edu. God bless you and have a great week.